Welcome to the Elijah Force podcast, an Elijah Streams production. Our focus is to bring a new dimension of spiritual gifting through prayer and intercession, the seer gifting, discerning of spirits, and more. And now here's your host, Julie Smith.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Julie Smith, and I'm the host of Elijah Force. We have a brand new guest today for our Elijah Force family, Pastor Nicholas Christmas. He's a youth pastor from Regeneration Nashville in Tennessee. He's a prophetic powerhouse like his pastors, Pastor Kent and Candy Christmas. He's going to share his heart for raising up the youth in this hour, and he's going to share some recent prophetic words for the church. And hint, hint, our best days are ahead. Amen and amen. But before we bring Nicholas on, let's run this well video clip to show you where your generous donations are going.
Every child, every mother, every family, everyone deserves clean water. Because of you, tens of thousands now have access to clean, safe water. Donate online at ElijahStreams.com/donate. Or mail a check today to Elijah Streams, 525 2nd Avenue Southwest, Suite 629, Albany, Oregon, 97321.
Wow, I hope someday I just get to get on in there with the kids. Some of our team go there and they are a part of dedicating the water wells. We're almost to our 1,000th water well. We have a team going to Uganda in October to dedicate our 1,000th water well. Can it be any more thrilling? Can you imagine being there with those kids saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, yay, and rededicating the next water well? Well, that's what you do, and you get to be a part of it. And we bring you these incredible video clips straight from Uganda and the church and the villages there and the impact you are making. These are raw and real, and you cannot hide the joy on their faces from all the fresh water that you help them dig. And we so thank you for it. And if you feel led, you can go to ElijahStreams.com/donate today. And you can also give on this new banner. You can scan your phone to that QR code and it'll take you right through the prompts of giving. You can also go to ElijahStreams.com/donate online and you can mail a check or money order to our physical address there in Albany, Oregon, to our offices. And the description will be, the address will be in the description as well. So we thank you for all of your support. All right, let's go ahead and bring on my guest today, Pastor Nicholas Christmas.
The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You were born for such a time as this. Your prayers are powerful and bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Seers, dreamers, and discerners, arise. You are highly gifted and anointed. All warriors, arise. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. You are a force to be reckoned with.
Hello, Nicholas. Thank you. Hi. Thank you for coming on. Welcome to the Elijah Force family. We're excited to have you on.
Thank you for having me. I'm very glad to be here.
Yes, and we had you on with your dad on Elijah Streams not too long ago, and you shared a powerful word. And when I heard your word and having you with Pastor Kent, I was like, we need to have Nicholas on. And, you know, you have such a heart for the youth. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk these days about revival coming. And
yes,
I'm sure you guys get all stirred up about that. And give us a little insight about what's going on with the youth at your church. And what is the Lord stirring your heart for in the youth to sow into them?
God is doing great things amongst the young people. We've just kind of seen a surge and an attendance. And you get these kids in and they're rough. They don't know anything about the Lord. You know, they know stuff about Fortnite and TikTok and, you know, everything else, but they don't know about the Lord. And so it's a good thing and a bad thing, because you just get a clean slate and you could just show them the love of Jesus and the presence of God. You get them in those altars and the Holy Ghost starts moving and they just start weeping and they've never experienced it before. And God just starts breaking down, you know, the barriers in their heart. This is really a generation that has faced things that we never dreamed about. And so you get them coming in and you just begin to teach them that the things that they are hungry for, the things that they desire can be found in the Lord. And so we're just seeing that in our own youth group, and the kids are responding to it and just going deeper with the Lord. And it's a wonderful time.
Amen and amen. And I know that you are the youth pastor there at Regeneration Nashville. Yes. With your parents, Pastor Kent and Candy Christmas, and your sister Jasmine is the worship leader. It's a family affair, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't have to talk about her.
Rivalry. She was on with us a couple of times too. So, that's awesome, though.
I'm sure you guys
have some great family times, and
yes.
It's all good and it's all in fun, you know. I was thinking about your name, Nicholas Christmas. You probably get a lot of feedback about that, don't you? Christmas, St. Nicholas, hello. So you probably
absolutely. My parents had a good sense of humor, and I had to learn to get a thick skin early.
Why did they name you Nicholas, by the way?
My mom had a dream a couple of years before she met my dad that she would have a little boy named Nicholas, and she was holding him up to a Christmas tree and looking at all the ornaments saying, "Look, Nicholas." And then lo and behold, she meets my father and becomes Candy Christmas, and, you know, sticks with the name that God gave her. And I became Nicholas Christmas.
Oh my goodness. There's so many prophetic parables in your names as well in the Christmas family. I love it. We jumped a little bit ahead, but that's okay. I want to hear your heart for the youth, you know, and we'll get into that more. But I always like starting out with a fun fact with our new guests. And you have a fun little furry friend you wanted to share. Let's go ahead and bring up your, yes, tell
I
us
do.
About it. About
that's him. My Bengal Maverick, and he is absolutely wild, climbs everything, jumps everything. He'll jump from my floor to the top of a door and just hang out there. And so he's a lot of fun. I knew I wanted a cat, but I wanted something a little more wild, and he'll walk on a leash like a dog and swim in the lake. And so he's a lot of fun.
My goodness. So you kind of have a half cat, half dog, don't you?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. He's a beautiful, beautiful cat. My sister had a Bengal, but it was more tabby-ish with a bunch of spots in it. So I guess there's different, you know, breeds of Bengal, but I love fur babies too. I've got two cats and two dogs. So I'm kind of crazy pet lady myself.
I love it. I can relate.
Awesome. And I also like to ask the Lord for a prophetic word when we have guests on for the first time. And this is what he said about you, Nicholas. He said, my heart. He was like gripping his heart. He's like, my heart. Nicholas carries my heart. And I got Malachi 4:5-6 over you, which is, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, or I'll come strike the land with curse. So that's the mantle you have. You're turning the hearts. Of the
I receive that.
To the children and the children to the fathers. You carry that. And then you carry
what
his
a good
heart.
Word.
Oh, yeah. And he said, you carry his heart over the nations and the youth. And it wasn't like I just saw you as a carrier of his heart, but I saw details. I saw the heartbeat of God. Like you beat in the rhythm and you beat in sync. Your heart beats with the Lord's. And I saw your heart chambers. And the Lord said, you go into the heart chambers of himself and you discover every piece, every crevice of his heart. And then he said, you are his gentle giant.
What a compliment. I receive that. That's such a good word. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. And I've never seen like somebody, I mean, I've seen, you know, I've gotten God's heart over people, but I didn't see like the heart chambers and the heart beating. It was like every detail, every nook and cranny of the Lord's heart you have. And he kept saying, my heart, he carries my heart. So yeah, that was pretty cool.
I receive it. The Lord knows I'm detail oriented. And so I just, once I get in there, I want all of it.
Oh, that's awesome. So good. And then, you know, it's fun. We were just on with your dad and he knew you were going to be on Elijah for us. And he said, there's no one that prays more than Nicholas. And he said, you're a prayer warrior. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your prayer life to spur us on. There's a lot of prayer warriors watching this show.
Man, you know what? I grew up and I really struggled. I really struggled, you know, communicating and making friends and, you know, struggled a lot with loneliness. And I would just retreat into the secret place and, you know, and into Jesus. And he was such a friend to me and helped me through some really difficult seasons. So looking back, I wouldn't trade anything for it because it helped me, you know, dig that well and have some depth with the Lord. And so it really was a blessing in disguise.
Oh, that's awesome. And what have you been praying lately? What has the Lord had on your heart to pray? I mean, is it for this nation, for the youth? What have you been stirred up to pray for? Get us all stirred up.
You know, just I think the main thing is just that the Lord would strengthen his people to endure, you know, to make it to what God is pouring out. I said it last time that what God is doing, this is not something that we have to strive for. This is not something that we have to work for, but it's just something that we have to wait patiently as God moves in his timeline. I was thinking recently when Trump was elected president for the first time, and I was walking the streets of New York, he's being sworn in for the very first time. And I was thinking, man, you know, the revival, we must just be on the cusp of it. I can't wait to see in a couple of years. But that wasn't God's timeline. Now, I believe that we're much closer here, but I always just pray, Lord, help us to be an attunement with your timeline and what you're doing and all the steps that it takes to get there. But I truly believe that we are walking into the days of heaven on earth, that we will see things that we have never seen before, things that we have never dreamed of, that God is going to pull things from every revival, you know, from Azusa and just every work that he has done. And it will be a part of it, but God will go so much farther beyond that. And I'm excited to see. Now, I think that its focal point will be in a young generation. I think God will go into kindergartens, into grade schools, middle schools, and secular schools, and that the presence of God will settle down and children will begin just to weep at his presence and be filled with the Holy Ghost and stand up and prophesy. And there will be teachers that will say, I don't know what this is. I don't, how did this get in here? Even wicked people that are there with an agenda of the devil, and they will say, no, this cannot happen, and God will just completely bypass and his sovereign presence will show up. And so my heart is that we will just endure to see all that God has in store for us.
Ooh, you're getting your preach on there. I was like, yes. Speaking of, you know, you grew up obviously in a prophetic stream. What was it like growing up and being influenced by the prophetic in your household? We're going to play a clip here in a little bit so people get to know your gift of prophecy.
One, you don't get away with anything. The Lord is always speaking. And if they're, you know, their ears listening, you're not going to get away from anything. But it was a beautiful gift because I remember, you know, you'd come home and I would hear my parents praying, or I'd wake up early in the morning on a Saturday and I could just hear them pacing back and forth and praying. And even now I'll look out my window. I live on the same property as my parents, and I'll look out my back window and I'll see pops going out in the morning and just praying. And so they have carried that, but it just, you know, it helps cultivate the hunger in you, because what you see, you imitate. And so, you know, my parents would come to me and I would see how they prayed. And so then I would try to imitate as a child does, but God blesses the effort and will bring the maturity and teach you how to walk those roads. And so it's been a real blessing to grow up in it. And I don't take it for granted.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. And then of course, well, we won't talk too much about Jasmine, but she's a worship leader. And of course, her mom, Candy, she traveled with, was it something brothers? I should know them.
The Hemp Hill family.
Okay, yes.
And then the Gaithers.
The Gaithers. Yes, that's yes, what I was thinking. You shared that. So worship is in your background too. Do you sing and worship as well?
You know what? By the time I came along, Jasmine had taken it all. There was nothing left. I can't clap on beat. I don't sing. It's a struggle.
I'm sure you can, but you're a fiery prophetic preacher as well, and God is raising you up. Any testimonies you want to share from your youth and you know, the things that you guys are doing? You meet, I think we have a flyer, you meet on Wednesdays weekly?
Wednesday nights, yes,
church?
Ma'am.
Yeah. Give us some testimonies of what you've seen with the youth and what's going on in your church. And, you know, let's spark others to see a youth movement in their church as well.
God has been, you know, so faithful to us. And so, you know, he's brought in some hard cases. Mm-hmm. It's such a common theme that you see children struggling with gender identity, same-sex attraction. They have no idea who they are, where they belong to, especially if they don't naturally have a talent or you know, a place to fit in. And so, you know, they're struggling with isolation and loneliness and all of these things. And so I think of one student specifically. She'd come and she was using a more masculine form of her name, and she would just sit in the back, and she didn't really believe in God. But you know what? It wasn't so much that, you know, get off your phone and get up front and pay attention. I met her where she was at. And if she's going to sit in the back, that's fine. At least she's in the room. And over time, the Holy Spirit was just chipping away at her. And we went to youth camp. I think her parents even had to make her go. But the presence of God was just being poured out. And tears just begin to stream down her face, and our female leaders, they gathered around her and they just begin to prophesy over her the word of the Lord. And God just began to do a deep work in her, because he loves our youth. He is compassionate about our youth, and especially so many that struggle with gender identity, same-sex attraction. It's so easy to make fun of that or to make that a target, but God's heart is love for those students. He is compassionate for the struggles that they have and the things that they have endured, and God's heart is to set them free and to answer the questions that they carry, to bind up the wounds and to heal and to set them on the path that he has for them and that he has created for them to do. And so we saw that in this young girl. And now she comes and, you know, she goes by her God-given name. And there's such a light in her. It's even a countenance change. She looks different because what God has done in her. And so I just want to encourage anybody that works with students, God can do it. And your students, and he is willing, and it doesn't have to look like what other ministries are doing or what other pastors are doing. God is so graceful. He will work in the gifts and the talents and what he has given you to accomplish his works.
Awesome. And then you talked about identity too, and we've been in an identity crisis, as you know, with all the gender fluidity and everything going on. And we've had some guests that talk about that and, you know, speak life into people that have struggled and let the Holy Spirit do his work. And then they've turned around. It's like the Lord tells them who they are. No, this is who I made you. This is who I called you to be. And then they just shut away all the lies of the enemy. And especially in schools these days, I have some nieces and nephews that are 8 and 9 and one's 14. They started telling me that they're teaching them all these things. You can be whoever you want. Mm. You can identify whoever you want. You can use either bathrooms. You can dress however you want. And it's like they are shoving this down our kids' throats in school.
Yes,
so no wonder
are.
We have an identity crisis. It's wild. But then you come along and, you know, you get the youth and you pack them in there and watch what Holy Spirit will do. And he can do what only he can do and speak the truth to them. And that's awesome that you meet them where they're at, because they don't need people, you know, telling them, you know, preaching at them down or judging them. They need love. They need to know who they are in Christ. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. The Elijah Force podcast is made possible by donations like yours. To become a partner, go to ElijahForce.com/give.
And so we bait the hook, you know, we feed them snacks and we play games and we have a lot of fun. And over time, you can catch the fish.
Yes.
And so the Holy Spirit is very faithful in helping us do that.
How do you stir up the hunger in them? Let's talk about the hunger that we're seeing a lot of hunger in the youth right now. So I love how God is stirring up the hunger in the youth. How do you all do it?
I see that they have the desire, you know, they have the desire for the Lord and for community and to do something. And what I found is you just lead them to the Lord and that they can find the things that are in their heart's desire in Jesus. You know, if you're on the basketball team and you want to be the greatest basketball player, great, go and do that. But bring the light of Christ with you, because these kids can go places that none of us can go. And they can carry and be a light in those places. And so we just try to teach them that they can find what they desire in Jesus. And then also using our gifts and our talents and the ways that we find the Lord. I find the Lord in prayer. Jasmine does a great job of finding Jesus in worship. And I've never found that I've related to God as strongly in worship as I do in prayer. And so I get amongst those kids and man, I am not cool. I don't try to be cool. I'm just, that's not me, but I can get in there and I can pray the house down. And so sometimes, you know, at the end of the service, we'll do an altar call and I'll tell those kids, I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder and we're going to pray over you and invite the Holy Spirit in and his presence and just begin to pray over them and show them that their gifts and their talents, that they can find Jesus in those. And mine just happens to be prayer. And so, you know, with whatever it is.
Some of my favorite stories about the youth, we've had other guests on that speak into the youth and minister with the youth, how they are raised up in their prophetic gifts and to hear the Lord's voice. And then they go to school and they hear the Lord over, you know, specific students. They've been able to stop. Like, I think someone said they saw like a warning of a shooter coming into their school and they were able to warn, you know, the authorities in school and teachers that I saw this, you know, possible happening. They were able to stop a shooter. Or some of them saw some students struggling with suicide and they were able to speak into their life and stop them from taking their life. I mean, that's what is stirring up the youth. They go into the dark places. I mean, public schools are dark places these days. They can go into those dark places and take the world by storm and get people saved, healed, and set free. And I love that the youth is stirred up to be the light in the dark places that they go to 5 days a week.
Yes. We had a student do that. He's just, you know, he's struggled, I think some with being courageous, but he's made the right choices and was working on surrounding himself with the right friends. And a buddy he was distancing himself from came to him and said, opened his backpack and there's a 9mm and a couple extra mags. And, you know, he's telling him what he's going to do after lunch. And this young man was just full of the courage of the Lord. He kept his cool and he went to their security officer very, you know, privately, discreetly afterwards and was able to tell him and stop a school shooting. The Hendersonville Police Department came and held a conference for him to honor him at his school for what he did. And so even like you said, just in the small things, just in making the right choices and being courageous, you never know the opportunities that God will put in front of these students.
Yes. Oh, that's so, so good. I love hearing testimonies like that. And I believe we're going to see many, many more. And, you know, we're coming up on the anniversary of the death of Charlie Kirk. I believe it's September 10th. And, you know, the youth have been really stirred up. And there have been more chapters of, you know, turning point, thousands. I think Charlie Kirk's vision was maybe a few thousand and it or 5,000 and, the last I heard it was over, the chapters now are over 20,000 plus. Wow. It could be even more, up to six figures. So what have the youth been saying about what happened with Charlie Kirk and how it's affected them and where do you think we're going because of, you know, the seed, you know, that was sown into the ground in his life?
You know, I think this, really, it's a historical event in our nation. And I think it stands out so much among this generation because the assassination was shared so easily on social media. And yeah. So from the time it happened to the time my students reached youth, pretty much all of them had seen this assassination. And so it was very vivid and very real. And so having to walk them through that trauma, but I tell you what, we're going to make the devil regret that he ever touched Charlie Kirk. He thought he killed him, but he buried a seed in the ground. And like you said, we are already seeing the fruit of that, but there is no telling what fruit will come out of that and how God will use that in this generation. And I think the weapons that the enemy has formed against this generation will be in part broken down because of the seed Charlie Kirk was planted in the ground and the words that he has spoken, because it has amplified it worldwide. And he, man, he was very humble, but he was so bold, and he said it like it was, and he spoke such a straight truth that this generation could understand. And I see students even now will come in listening to his debates and listening to what he says. And so I think the enemy made a big mistake and he should have never touched him.
Woo-hoo. Amen to that. He had no idea what he did. He thought he took him out, but it was a turning point for a revival in our nation.
I love that.
Oh, so good. So you were recently with your dad and Pastor Hank and others and your sister at the Ryman Auditorium. That was we got some reports about that. Tell us what happened there, and we have a clip from you.
Man, it was a fantastic event. You know, I think not just our church, many churches across the nations, we are looking to redig the wells of revival that the enemy has stopped up, like Jacob going back and redigging the wells of his father and reclaiming his inheritance. And we as Christians, you know, somewhere along the way, these got laid down and the enemy was able to come in and block them up. But I'm going to tell you what, we're not going to stand for that. And so we're going into these places and redigging the wells of revival and taking back what belongs to us and our inheritance. And the Ryman Auditorium is one of those. The gospel was preached mightily in that place and temperance and all kinds of different things. And so it is a touchstone of revival. And so God just so elegantly orchestrated an opportunity for us to be there and for the prophetic word of the Lord. I think the Ryman is just a piece of the larger puzzle of what God is doing. But, you know, I think it's just a poke in the eye to the enemy to stand on that stage and declare the word of the Lord where there has been such mixture. You know, people will hold a drink in their hands and maybe sing Amazing Grace and just such mixture, and there's no payment to be a Christian. It doesn't cost you anything, but we say not so, that what we have is valuable and we're going to stand for it and reclaim those things. And so that's really what we were doing at the Ryman, and God showed up in a mighty way.
Phew, and he sure showed up through you as well. We have around a 6-minute prophetic word that you released at the Ryman in late July. And, let's go ahead and play it, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about that word. All right.
The Lord says that I'm not done with the issue of abortion in this nation. God says that there are some issues that I can pour my mercy out on and I can overlook. But the Lord says, go back and look at my word. The Lord says, I have to answer this. The Lord says, the cry of the unborn echoes in my throne room and in my house. And the Lord says, I have mourned for the atrocities that have been done against children in the womb. And the Lord says, if you in my house have committed an abortion, Lord says, there's difference between individual and national sin. And if you'll come to me as an individual, the Lord says, I will absolve your sin. I'll cover you in my blood. But the Lord says to the house of the Lord, you better have the blood of the Lamb on your doorpost, because as it was in Egypt, so it will be in America. And the Lord says, I will release my judgment on the house of the wicked in this nation. And mothers will come out into the streets because the spirit of death and judgment has touched their house. And they will cry out to me. And the Lord says, I will not hear them. God says, I had to pour out my judgment. And you say, why America? And the Lord says, because it started in America. And America took other nations and made them drink from the cup of their wickedness. And the Lord says, I'll pour out my judgment. God says, I'm going to bring great things to this nation, revival, and I'll pour out my mercy. But the Lord says, I cannot let this go unanswered. God says, I'm removing the flies from the ointment. The Lord says, I'm so tired of those with a name and a brand and a gifting getting up and quoting a Bible verse and singing Amazing Grace and the people saying, look, they're Christian. God says, I'll have purity in my house, and the move that I am doing is pure. And God says, you're going to see big names, and they're going to come to the door of what I am doing, and they'll name drop, and they'll try to bribe their way in, and it won't work. God says, not this time. It's like the magician that God saved under Philip, and Peter came to the town and started filling people with the Holy Ghost, and he tried to buy it. He tried to bribe his way into it, and Peter looked at him and said, may your silver be destroyed with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this matter, because your heart is not right before God. The Lord says, it's been like the NFL draft. And the God says, I've been liberal and who I extended an invitation before. God said, I didn't discriminate. I called many people. And the Lord says, because it wasn't advantageous for you, because it was inconvenient for you, because you were drunk on your love of the world and the things of the world, the Lord says, my roster is closed. And God says that there are many people that he is raising up, many people that are humble and lowly. And the Lord says not to worry, because the Lord says it's not the first time I've done a new thing, and it's not the first time I've built a house. And the Lord says, when I moved in Israel and I required a new thing of them, the Lord says, did not my spirit of wisdom come upon the laborers to build all that was required? And so the Lord says, won't my spirit of wisdom come upon you to do all that I am asking you to do in this hour? The Lord says to pastors, won't I bring men beside you to be pillars of the house? The Lord says, won't I bring people to lift up your arms so you don't grow weary? God says, I am compassionate, I am kind. And the Lord says, many of the things that you are seeing and that you are hearing, you say, God, it is too great for me. But the Lord says, I am a good shepherd, and I will come alongside you. And the Lord says, the weight of what I am doing will not crush you. But the Lord says, first I will cause you to walk in it. And the Lord says, then I will cause you to run in it. Because I am gracious and kind and compassionate. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you today. Your best days are ahead of you. Some of you would already disqualify yourself and say, I'm too old, I'm too feeble, I'm not young enough. I'm not as sharp as I would be. But the Lord says, renew your strength in me. Stay close to me, and I will amaze you at the signs and the wonders that I perform by your hands. Your best days are ahead of you. I wonder if you could just stand with me and just rejoice over the word of the Lord that has been released in the house today. If you would just reach out and grab a hold of it and you say, that's for me. That's for my house. That's for my church. Hallelujah.
Help Elijah Force continue to reach people around the world. All donations go toward making the Elijah Force podcast possible. Visit ElijahForce.com/give and become a partner today.
Woohoo! Wow, wow. That was power packed.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. What kind of feedback did you get from that word after you released it? What was the feedback you received?
You know, I had a lot of people who were older coming to me and really thank them. You know, I think it's been a worry for people as they're getting on up in years. What place is there for me and what God is doing? Because we hear so much about God pouring out his spirit on the young generation, which will absolutely happen. But when God is moving, there's always a place for a Joshua and a Caleb, mm-hmm. those who have carried the torch, those who are hungry, those who have been faithful. And so I've had a lot of older people reach out to me and just be very encouraged by it.
Yeah, it started out with kind of like a fiery judgment, you know, word of the Lord. And then it went into compassion.
Yeah.
Well, it was like, he's dealing with the wicked in this day. And when you talked about, you know, he's not done with the issue of abortion in this nation. And he hears the echoes of the unborn. And I thought about, you know, the youth. It's like, they're going to say no to abortion. They're going to say, nope, not on our watch.
Absolutely.
What has the Lord spoken to you about that? Because I really feel like the youth has a voice on abortion, and they're going to say no. They're going to say no to Planned Parenthood. They're going to say, no, we don't want that. What have you seen about that with the youth raising up in this day, talking about abortion and taking it on?
You know, I think that there has been such a lie that has mm-hmm. been shoved down this young generation concerning abortion. And really, it's an atrocious murder of a child without question. And so the left has really tried to brainwash them and to propagate this. But I think that this young generation is so sick of the lies and the fake and the plastic. And I think they are hungry for the real. And that's what I was talking about. You teaching the kids that the real that you are hungry for, the authenticity that you are looking for, is found in Jesus Christ. And I think that when this generation gets a dose of the Holy Ghost, that when they get a taste of the goodness of the Lord, it's like scales will fall off of their eyes, and they will see the lie that the enemy has tried to put over their eyes and say no to abortion, that this is murder, that God is for the unborn, that his heart and his love is for them, that he is jealous for them, and that the anger of God is stirred up concerning the hand of the wicked that they have placed on the unborn.
You know, as I'm hearing you, I'm just seeing a vision of the youth holding the unborn and saying, I'm standing for you. I'm standing in the gap. I'm interceding for you. And they're going to save lives. I see them even going into, you know, Planned Parenthood and other places where, you know, there's young women going in and about to have an abortion, and them grabbing them by the hand and saying, no, I'm going to stand with you. We're here for you. And even the Lord is going to give them resources at such a young age to provide. You know, they may have resources of, you know, counseling centers or places that the Lord has led them to. And I don't know if you guys have thought about that as well, but I see a big resource center coming for the youth as well, and everything that they're dealing with, and even young mothers too. I just see that all coming. You're going to be like a resource center for many.
Absolutely. And I think there are many young people that have had an abortion. And like I said in my word, if they call on the name of the Lord, there is such grace and such mercy that the Lord will pour out and cover their sin. But I think at the same time, he will fill their mouth with a testimony that will overcome the enemy to pull back the curtain on the wickedness and the evil and the reality of an abortion, because they have gone through that terrible experience and be able to say firsthand. And I think some of the strongest proponents for life, you know, started out maybe with an abortion. And two, you know, I think from the African American community, I think they are disproportionately affected by abortion more than anyone else. And I think that there are young Black voices that will rise up in condemnation at the weapon that the enemy has formed against them, and that they will stand in a gap and be a voice for the voiceless and for the unborn, and absolutely strike a death blow. I think God is going to fill the young people with such ferocity. I think it'll take people aback that they will open their mouth and just a torrent of such wisdom and ferocity of the word of the Lord will come out of their mouth and just absolutely continue putting the nails in the coffin of abortion in this nation, but worldwide.
Wow. Amen. And, you know, the more voices that stand against the abortion, the more it will come down. And
absolutely.
And I've seen people with, you know, being a lighthouse and combating. We've had people on the show combating Planned Parenthood, and the Lord gave them a plan and a blueprint of how to combat Planned Parenthood. So I know he's giving people blueprints as well to bring it down. So I can't wait to see all that the Lord is doing. And then you had you had a fiery word here about, you know, we're going to see big names and they're going to come to the door of what I'm doing, the Lord is doing, and they'll name drop and then they'll try to bribe their way and it won't work. I mean, no. God is really leveling the playing field, isn't he?
Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And there are people that have been big names and they've talked about the Lord and, you know, they make a donation here and have a photo op there, but their heart is far from the Lord and they are using his fame and his name for their glory. And God's not going to have any more of it. And so, you know, God's going to remove them and raise up the humble, those who have been in the secret place of the Lord, those who have walked in holiness and righteousness to fill those places. And those people, you know, maybe they get to sit in the audience, you know, maybe they get to see what God is doing, but they most certainly will not have a part in it. God's not going to put new wine in old wineskins.
Amen. Someone just shared that too about the new wine coming, and we cannot fill it with new or old wineskins. So, you know, God is exposing and shaking up things. And I remember a few years ago, the Lord gave me a word. He said, those who felt last in line and behind, I'm welcoming you to the VIP section and you won't miss a thing.
Absolutely.
And yeah, that's what's happening with the humble, that he's raising up the humble in heart, isn't he?
Yeah, they're just going to feel a hand in their back and it's going to be Jesus pushing them right on out.
Ooh, oh, I love that. And then you talked about the spirit of wisdom coming upon, and they're going to, let's see here. And the Lord says, won't my spirit of wisdom come upon you to do all that I'm asking you to do in this hour? And I've been praying for the spirit of wisdom. It's really been on my heart to pray for the spirit of wisdom. And the Lord gave me a word a few years ago. He said, when the spirit of wisdom rests on a nation, everything prospers. So we really need his wisdom. I see it resting on places. What has the Lord showed you about the spirit of wisdom that is coming?
You know, the Lord loves his people. His heart is for his people. He walks amongst his people. They are his sheep. And so God is not going to ask us to do something and then not give us the ability to do it. And it's like when God called Israel to build the temple, he equipped their builders with the spirit of wisdom to work in all that they had to do, the embroidery and the metalwork and the woodworking to do it. Now, you know, that looks a little different for us in this day and age, but God is going to equip people with the wisdom to do it. And I think that they'll just wake up one morning with God ideas or yes. you know, a passion to do this, or you know, just the ability to walk in it, because God is going to equip his people to do it, like you said, with the spirit of wisdom. God gives liberally. And I think this is a time that God is opening the storehouses of heaven, and that there is nothing held back. And so God's just going to pour it out on his people.
Amen. A lot of people can relate to this. Some would already disqualify themselves and think, I'm too old and too feeble. But you wanted to encourage us all that the best days are ahead of us. Tell us a little bit about this word. I want to believe the best days are ahead of us. And I do believe that.
Yes. Well, you know, even this morning we had our staff meeting here at church, and we always leave room for the Holy Ghost to move. And I could see, it was like a dry riverbed, a large dry riverbed. And I could see the prophets of the Lord walk out onto the riverbed to prophesy the rain, to call the rain in. And I could see the skies grow stormy and fat raindrops begin to fall on the land. Because, you know, a riverbed that's dry once had water there, but for whatever reason, it dried up. But at the same time, the Bible says that spirits inhabit dry places. And so I could see that even as this riverbed, as water began to flow, just a trickle and begin to grow, that these demonic spirits who had taken up residence there, they stood on both sides of the riverbank. They couldn't get down in it. They couldn't do anything to touch it, but they lined the riverbank filled with such vile hatred. And I could see the people of the Lord coming to see what God was doing, to get in the midst of the presence of God that was being poured out just ankle deep at this moment. And these spirits, it was the voice of the accuser, and he would grab hold of the people and he would say, you're too old, you're too weak, you have this sin or this weakness or this failure. And they're doing everything that they can to keep the people of God from getting in the waters of the Lord, because they know once they get in the waters of the Lord, it is a fresh and a flowing body of water. And if they can just step in it, it'll begin to wash away all of that weakness, all of the sins, all of the failures, and they will walk in what God has for them. And so I just encourage you, you know, silence the voice of the accuser, because once you are in and you are operating and what God has for you, he cannot stop you, but he will do everything he can and tell you every lie in his arsenal to keep you from getting there. And so just have a spirit of boldness. You're just going to have to learn to stir up the gifts of God and the presence of God that is in you, and look at the enemy and say, you are a liar. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, because what God's vision is for the church is for you to be a part of it. God has your name personally in mind. And if you will get in it, there's no enemy that can stop you. And like I said, your best days are ahead of you.
Amen. And we all receive that. When we're about to wrap up, we'll have you go out praying into that word for all of us. The best days are ahead, and just to pour into that word for us. There's one more word we wanted to share before we wrap up. You had a prophetic word called united by love. This is an awesome word. When did you get word?
It was a couple months ago, and God just began to speak to me over the course of a couple of nights, and I just began to write it down, and that's what it looked like. God will oftentimes just speak to me in prayer.
Awesome. Well, break this down or summarize this word for us. I'm sure we're going to post this on the Elijah list. I'm going to turn this into our team to post this as well. It's so good.
Just some major points, some highlight. God is going to pour out his love upon his people. I believe it's in John chapter 13. God says that his people will be known by their love. And so I think that will mark the people of this age, that it is such a difference that once they encounter the presence of God, that the spirit of love will come upon them. And I could even see, you know, things long established, hatreds and divisions, that in a moment they will just be thrown off as an old garment, and people will put on the garments of love. Even things that it's like you could set your watch by it. It was almost an established fact. And so when God does that thing, it's going to get people's attention. And there are going to be newscasters that will be filming, and you'll see people come together and walk in such unity and brotherly love. And they'll say, I don't have a point of reference for it. I don't understand it. They'll go to professors, and professors will say, I've never seen anything like it. But when God walks amongst his people, there is a spirit of love and peace that just permeates the atmosphere. And I believe that God is bringing that again, and it will be a sign of the revival that he is bringing. But I also could see that, that our news corps had really been filled with such a lying spirit. They would open their mouth and just lie, like Pharaoh's magicians, that God sent a lying spirit and it filled their mouth. And that has been with our news corps. You know, if they're talking, they're lying. And so I think that God is going to raise up some godly news organizations like Elijah Streams and Elijah Force. But I think there are some news corporations and newspapers that went under, that went defunct, but only for a season, because God had his hand on them, and he's going to raise them up once again, and they are going to open their mouth and roar like a lion, and that truth will come out of their mouth, and they will begin to pull back the curtain on the man behind the curtain, and they will show bribes and agreements that have been made in the legacy media. And it's like I could see board meetings where these news organizations, they get together in a panic, and they're saying, how do we stop this? How do we spin this? How do we contain this? This is going to be our ruin. But God is raising up some godly people in the news that are going to just shed the light of the Lord, and it's going to drive out the darkness and the corruption that has risen in, and the voice of the Lord will resonate in our news once again.
And we all said amen to that, because we sure need a revival in the media.
Yes,
everything
we do.
That we've seen, that was a powerhouse of a word. That is awesome. And then you also had one about the Middle East. And how you saw that brother has risen up against brother, but my love will overcome this, even in the Middle East. God will
absolutely
do this. Now, this is a good word, because we're in the middle of a Iranian war, as you know, and the Middle Eastern wars, and our, Israel and all that. So tell us what you saw there.
God loves the Iranian people.
Yes,
he loves the people in the Middle East. He died for them just like he died for us. And I think God weeps for the chains of bondage that those people are in, especially the women, the heavy burden that they are under. And I think that God is just that there is no boundary, there is no border, there is no proclamation that can keep the presence of God out of a country once he has decided to go into that place. And so what has confounded men for decades, I think God is going to go into in a moment and just begin to move among the people with his presence. Already we see many, many Muslims come to him by dreams, but I think God is just going to do it in an accelerated way, and that you will see people in Palestine and people in Israel, Muslim and Christian, and they will embrace, and Jesus will pour out his spirit upon them and drive back that demonic spirit of Islam, which is a false religion, and you will see people convert by the thousands. And again, it'll be marked by his peace and by his love. And I don't want to make it seem like Muslims and Christians will embrace, but it's God pouring out his spirit on the Muslim community who will convert and who will come to the Lord.
Yes. And, you know, as you were sharing, he's showed up through a lot of dreams to the Muslim community. We've heard so many stories about him showing up as the man in white. And he's getting people saved himself, showing up in their dreams. That only
Absolutely.
God could do something like that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think these regimes are going to be absolutely dumbfounded because they're going to have no idea what to do once the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords shows up in their midst and the Holy Spirit starts pouring out himself in the streets because he can't contain it.
Yeah. Oh, this was so, so good. He's doing that in the youth. He's doing that in the nations. He's doing it in the body of Christ. He's doing it in the Middle East where there's so much conflict right now. We're just watching God move across the earth. And it really is a time for a revival across the earth right now. Everybody is saying that and you can feel it. And like, we're just on the cusp of seeing so much more that the Lord is doing. Oh, this was so, so good. Anything else you want to share to encourage us today and sum up? And then we'll share some of your resources and go out praying for our viewers.
If I could sum anything up, be strong, be courageous, get in the presence of God, and your best days are ahead of you. And that plaguing voice of the accuser that would come and speak lies in your ears over your future and over your eligibility to be used, you just say, be quiet in the name of Jesus, and you hold on to the word of the Lord. Faith is not a feeling, it's a choice, and so you stand on the rock and you make the choice and you say, Lord, I hear your word and I'll believe in Jesus' name.
Awesome. Ooh, I love it. You are a fiery preacher. No doubt about it. It runs in the family.
Thank you.
Awesome. Speaking of family, I guess we just got some hot off the press pictures that just came in. Let's go ahead and bring up some family pics that we were sent.
Awesome. Yes.
There you are. What a clan. That's the Christmas clan.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wonderful. Let's just flip through them all. Do we have more? Oh, there you all are. Very good. Ooh, is that a baptism?
Baptism, yes, ma'am.
Woo-hoo. You and your mom baptizing. And where is this at?
Tanzania. We go there every year and do missions as a church, and we are seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. God is doing marvelous things in Tanzania.
Very cool. When are you going again next?
We are going at the end of October. And so, man, I'm chomping at the bit to get back there. I love it.
I love it that you have a heart. What gave you all a heart for Tanzania?
You know what? We knew that we wanted to go to Africa. And we had a lady in our church that had been a missionary in Tanzania for 8 years. And she came to us about possibly going back because there's a girls' home there and they have some open doors with the Maasai people. And so we were willing and God gave us the opportunity and connected our hearts with some wonderful missionaries there. And God has just blessed us and seeing just fruit time after time. And so really, I think it originated in God's heart, and he looked down and saw that we were willing and they were ready to receive it, and God just put us together.
Awesome. So, so good. Is it like a missions trip that people can sign up for, or is it just, you know, certain people from your church going?
No, we open it up every year, sometime around May, and anybody is welcome to join us. And so keep an eye out open for that for our next trip.
Yeah. Do they go to, let's show your websites here. Do they go to Regeneration Nashville to find out more and everything you all are doing at church?
Yes, ma'am. That has all of our upcoming events and opportunities and conferences and admissions trips and everything that we're doing. And so that's the best place to go.
Awesome. And if people want to find out more about your youth group, it's on Wednesdays, and they can go to your website there at Youth Unite 2, and we'll have that in the description as well. And is that open for anyone? Anyone can come, come one, come all?
Yes. So if you have a student ages 6 to 12th grade, we would love to have them. They are welcome to join us. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. And then we end as service ends in the main church on Wednesdays. But yes, any student 6th through 12th grade, we would be so happy to have you.
Awesome. Well, Pastor Nicholas, it was an honor to have you on. You're such a fiery, young, passionate preacher. I'm so excited about, you know, all that the Lord is doing at your church and the youth and in the nations. It's just made me get more stirred up to say no to the enemy, no to the enemy's plans, and be bold and fierce in the face of him, and know that we can topple the enemy and everything that the Lord has called us to do. Would you go out praying for us, whatever the Lord has on your heart? I just feel like a stirring to just know that no matter what circumstances I'm in, whether, you know, like you said, with if you're feeble or dealing with challenges in life, our best days are ahead. We all want to believe.
Yes.
That.
Lord Jesus, I just thank you so much. God, you see each and every person, God, that this reaches, Lord, and I pray that your presence would settle down wherever they are, Lord, that you would wrap your arms around them, Lord, that you would pour out your compassion, God, to their situation, Lord. But Lord God, I pray that you would just let your spirit of encouragement, God, I pray that you would take the garments, Lord, of heaviness, God, that you would exchange them for the garments of praise. And Lord Jesus, that they would open their mouths, God, and laugh, Lord, that they would just be, that an oil of joy from the Lord would be poured out upon their heads. God, that they would see the blessings of God chase them and overtake them. God, where it has been hard, Lord, I pray that it would be easy. God, I pray that you would just give them, God, a down payment on what you are pouring out to their, on our nation, Lord, in this revival. Lord God, I pray that you would just give them something to tide them over, God, to encourage them. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just, God, place your hand upon their lives. Lord, let them see that you are walking them with them personally, Lord God. Lord, let their eyes see, God, in tangible ways that you are for them, that you are not done with them. Lord, that you stand in the gap. God, draw close to them. Lord, put your shield, God, in front of them against the enemies that they are facing. And Lord, I pray that you would make their enemies your enemies. And Lord God, that you would take the sword of the Lord and that their eyes would see you strike them down. Lord God, I pray that they would dance as David danced. Lord, that they would have the joy and the strength and the energy of a youth, Lord God. Lord God, that they would go into their doctor's appointments, Lord, and their doctors would say, I've never seen anything like it. I don't have an explanation for it, but you better thank the Lord God Most High because he is moved in your situation. And so, Lord, I thank you, God, let them be encouraged and let the words that their best days are ahead of them, God, be planted in their heart and bear much fruit. You love to see them prosper. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Woo! Now that's a prayer. Your dad was right. Nobody prays. We just don't know anyone that prays more than my son, Nicholas. Oh, that was so good. We all received that prayer. Totally received that. I was seeing a signpost. It's like the Lord is saying, watch for the signs. Watch for the signs in the heavenlies. Watch for the signs I put ahead of you, in front of you, because they are prophetic signs for your future, for your destiny, for your identity. Watch for the signposts. That's what I'm seeing while you were praying. So, yes,
man, that resonates with me. I believe it.
Yeah, awesome. Pastor Nicholas, it was an honor to have you on. Thank you for sharing your heart for the youth. You really are a gentle giant, a fiery giant in the Lord. And Thank you for bringing God's heart and the chambers of his heart to us today. We're so thankful for you and your voice and all that God is doing through you and Regeneration Church.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. It was an honor to be here today.
Yes. Thank you. Awesome. Until next time.
Yes, I'll
remind. Ma'am. Yes. I'll remind viewers where you can watch us, like us, and give us some love. We're on Rumble, Elijah Force, Facebook, Elijah Force Show. Email us at connect@elijahforce.com. We're on Instagram, Elijah Force Show. And take us on the road at elijahforcepodcast.com. So viewers, thank you for joining us today on Elijah Force. And never forget, you are a force to be reckoned with. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everyone.
This has been Elijah Force. Thanks for listening. For more episodes like this, you can listen to the Elijah Force podcast on Apple and Spotify. Join us every Monday and Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time on Rumble and Facebook. Elijah Force is part of Elijahless Ministries. Go to ElijahForce.com/give to become a partner today. Did you receive a breakthrough from today's show? Please let us know at connect@ElijahForce.com. Never forget that you are a force to be reckoned with.